Okay, we're going to get started, everyone. This is John Gabriel, and welcome to the New You in the New Year 5-week intensive transformational program. The purpose of this program is to walk you step by step through every aspect of the Gabriel method so that you can turn off your fat programs and get your body to actually want to be thin. What we're offering and what we're representing is a paradigm shift away from the traditional approach of diet and exercise, where the conventional belief is that the way to lose weight is to force yourself to lose weight by restricting calories or restricting specific types of foods and by exercising tremendous amounts so that you're burning more calories than you're taking in and you're losing weight. What we found, what you've probably found, which is one of the reasons why you're on this webinar, is that, or in this series, is that it's not a sustainable model, and in fact, it's not even an accurate model. And what you're going to be learning over the next 5 weeks is why it's not an accurate model, and what is. What we're offering is a paradigm shift. So the shift is that rather than forcing yourself from the outside to lose weight by forcing yourself to burn calories and forcing yourself not to eat and basically force, what we want to do is offer weight loss from the inside out. From the inside out means that you're changing your body on a hormonal level. You're changing the internal hormonal workings of your body so that the right hormones are being activated in the right sequence, and you're changing your cellular sensitivity to those hormones so that you become more efficient at burning fat, you're not as hungry, and your body wants to lose weight. Now, the purpose of this first webinar, Finding Your Fat Triggers, is to really understand what it is that causes our body to want to hold on to weight. So, and why, so that we can address those issues and eliminate them forever. Now, throughout the webinar, if you have questions, you can put them in the chat box, and Shannon and Den will try to answer them, Aaron will try to answer them, and I'm also going to bring Shannon Den in a couple of times to ask those questions and answer them. The actual presentation will go for about an hour. And then if there's still questions afterwards, I'll take those questions. But keep in mind that we're also adding 3 bonus Ask John type of question and answer sessions. The first one's coming up in a couple of days where you can call in and talk to me. And so the whole purpose of that actual class, I'm not going to be presenting any information, but you can call in and we can have a conversation. You can see me. We'll do it through live stream. Those of you that have been in our support group or are familiar with this format, you can see me, you can talk to me, and we'll work through questions. So over the 5 weeks, we will be answering all of your questions, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot of questions in the beginning, but just stay patient and we'll answer them. Now, each week, we're going to have a core lecture at this time where I present information about specific things that turn on your fat program and what to do to eliminate them. So right now, this week is just a general one. Next week, we're going to be talking about digestion and inflammation and toxins. The week after, mental and emotional stress. Then we're going to be talking the week after about doing exercise the right way, not by burning calories, but by using it as a tool to get your body to want to be thin. Finally, we're going to be talking about the mind-body connection and how to use your mind and program your mind and your body to actually want to be thin. This we're going to do every week at this time. We're also going to have a guest expert lecture 48 hours from now. That is, for us in Australia, it's Friday morning. In New York, it's Thursday night. Every week, one of our guest lecturers is going to be coming on and talking about their specialty. For example, Donna Gates is coming on next week, who's a world authority on digestion. We've got Ron Rosedale this week, who, in my opinion, Dr. Ron Rosedale is very much a Renaissance man in terms of understanding the metabolic physiology of obesity. I think he's one of the few people out there that really understands the hormonal shifts that take place in your body that force you to gain weight. I'm really pleased to be able to interview him. I think he's a genius. The information that he presents in that lecture, I have not heard anywhere else at any other time. So it's a lecture that you don't want to miss. Finally, the most important part of the whole 5-week experience is the action steps that we do each week. Because information is one thing, But doing is another thing. What we want you to do is each week at the end of the lectures, I'm going to be going over the action steps that I would like you to take each week. And that's the most important part of the five-week experience, because that's what you're going to walk away from. The idea is that after 5 weeks, you're going to have habits in place. Habits in place where you wake up and you do visualization, where you make yourself a green juice, where you have a stress reduction break in the afternoon, where you listen to visualization at night, where you drink water before meals, where you take probiotics. All these different things we're phasing in over 5 weeks. It's too much to do all at once because you'll get lost, you'll get overwhelmed, and then they won't become habits. So we start with 1, 2, 3 habits in the beginning, week one, and we move on from there so that by the end of 5 weeks, you will have habits in place that will change your life forever. Habits in place that automatically rewire your brain chemistry so that you feel less stress, and rewire your brain so that you feel more connected and relaxed and safe and protected. So all day long, you're not putting out the hormones, the stress hormones that cause you to gain weight, habits in place that improve your digestion, habits that detoxify your body, that keep your blood sugar stable, that increase the cellular sensitivity to fat-regulating hormones like leptin and insulin so that your body burns fat real efficiently and gives you lots of energy, speeds up your thyroid and your metabolism. All these different things improves your immune system so that autoimmune problems like chronic fatigue syndrome and Hashimoto's disease, all of these problems start to resolve themselves, even asthmas and food intolerances. So in this way, you're going to, over a five-week period, have habits in place that will change your life forever so that after you leave this program, a week later, a month later, 6 months later, a year later, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, every single day you're getting healthier, fitter, more energy, more passion, more joy, safer, more protected, calmer, more relaxed, and it spills over into every aspect of your life so that your relationships are improved, your finances are improved. And then that gives you even less stress because you're in a better place financially and you're getting more love from your family. So in all these different ways, these habits are the purpose of the 5 weeks is, yeah, to give you lots of information, because we will give you lots of information, and yeah, to answer questions, because, yeah, there's going to be a lot of questions, but the real benefit of the 5 weeks is the action steps. Do the action steps every week. Every day, let us walk you through them step by step. Each day, each week, we'll add one or two extra steps so that by the end of 5 weeks, you'll be able to transform your body and your life. So let's get into this webinar. What we're talking about is the fat triggers and why we have fat triggers. So basically, in order to understand the fat triggers, we have to understand the fat programs. And our fat programs are a primitive survival mechanism that is in our brain and body system that force us to gain weight for survival reasons. So why would your body want to force you to gain weight for survival reasons? Well, thousands and thousands of years ago, when we lived outdoors, weight was essential to survival for a couple of reasons. One, if you were living outdoors and there was a famine and it was a cold winter, you know, what are you supposed to do in winter? You're living outdoors, and we lived outdoors tens of thousands of years. Who knows how long people have been around? Some people say millions of years, some people say thousands of years, certainly very long periods of time. And there's no question that our ancestors survived winter time living outdoors. How on earth do you survive winter time living outdoors? What do you eat? The lakes are frozen, so you can't fish. All the animals are hibernating. There's no fruits growing, you can't grow any vegetables, there's no nuts, and it's very hard to get nuts and seeds. Maybe you can get a little bit of nuts and seeds. And it's cold all the time. How do you survive that? Our ancestors did this. Our ancestors survived long, cold winters without much to eat, being outdoors and being cold. Can you imagine that? How did our ancestors do it? Our ancestors did it because they have a fat program that forces them to gain weight to protect them and help them keep them alive during the cold winters. So if you were cold for a long period of time, that's called chronic hypothermia. So it's a chronic stress that goes on and on. And if you were hungry for long periods of time, that's also a chronic low-level stress. Those stresses, like any stress, and every stress, those stresses cause chemical changes, hormonal changes in your body. Now, those particular stresses, they're called chronic low-grade stresses. They're not stresses, life and death stresses. So the example of a life and death stress might be when you're running away from a tiger, which we had to do thousands of years ago too. That's a 30-second live or die type of stress. That's not a chronic low-grade stress. That happens for 30 seconds and you either live or you die. That's a different type of stress and it causes different chemistry. But what we're talking about is a chronic low-grade stress, which causes chronic low-grade inflammation. And I'd like you to remember that, chronic low-grade inflammation, because those are the stresses in today's world that cause us to gain weight. So the stresses from living outdoors thousands of years ago, being in cold, not having enough to eat, cause chemistry in your body that your brain reacts to and makes certain changes. Your brain becomes leptin resistant, which we've all heard about now. Many of us have heard about leptin resistance. Leptin resistance means that you're going to gain weight and gain weight. It's the worst thing in the world. And insulin resistance. We all know about insulin resistance. Causes type 2 diabetes, blood sugar problems. It's what Dr. Mark Hyman refers to as diobesity. It's caused by leptin and insulin resistance. All these things happen as a result of the stresses of not having enough to eat or being cold for long periods of time. Chronic low-grade stresses. Now, those chronic low-grade stresses activate this fat program that causes these changes in our body and force you to gain weight. And when those changes are there, I can tell you that unless you lived through it, you have no idea what it's like. I have lived through it, and that's really what my message is. Having lived through it, I know that your body forces you to gain weight, and there's nothing you can do about it. Dr. Jeffrey Friedman, the discoverer of the hormone leptin, really understood what it's like to live in a body that's leptin resistant simply because he understood the physiology of it so well. And we'll be talking about this a lot with Dr. Ron Rosedale on Friday or in 48 hours from now, leptin and insulin resistance. But basically, Dr. Friedman said that obesity cannot be ascribed to a breakdown in willpower. And we have got to stop blaming people. What that means is that when you are leptin resistant, as he discovered from basically discovering leptin and understanding it so well, when you are leptin resistant, which you would get if you were outdoors in a famine or cold weather, which would activate your fat programs, when you're leptin resistant, you're insatiably hungry. Your metabolism slows down. So people say to me, I have a slow thyroid, and they're taking thyroid medication. I said, your problem isn't your thyroid. The problem is your fat programs are activated. And because your fat programs are activated, your body's forcing you to gain weight. That's your problem. So your thyroid slows down, you're insatiably hungry, your body starts going into chronic fat storage mode because your insulin levels elevate because you become insulin resistant, and you lose the ability to burn fat. When you combine all those things, your body basically gets transformed into a fat storage machine. Now, today, we don't have to worry about famines. We don't have to worry about being outdoors. We can be indoors, we can be in controlled environments, and we can eat all we want during winter. So we don't have that stress. But we have other stresses. And those other stresses will cause us the same chemistry that activates the fat programs, basically the same chemistry as a famine. So any stress in today's modern world, and we're going to talk about some of those right now, and that's what we're going to do for the rest of the webinar, but any stress that causes a low-grade inflammatory response similar to the low-grade inflammatory stress response that you get from being outdoors in the cold for a long period of time, that's called chronic hypothermia, or being chronically hungry for long periods of time. Any stress that causes the same chemistry as those stresses will trick your body and your brain to activating your fat programs. So you're basically, your body's getting tricked into activating this primal starvation survival response. And here's the paradigm shift. We have to figure out what's activating our fat programs. We have to figure out what's causing that chemistry that's forcing our bodies to gain weight. And when you figure out what's causing your body to gain weight and you address it, all of the chemistry goes away. You're not leptin resistant anymore. And this is what happens. So if you were leptin resistant, basically leptin tells your brain how much fat you're carrying on your body. Now, leptin resistant means that your brain isn't listening to leptin. So you could have 200 pounds of excess weight on your body, as I once did, And because your brain isn't listening to leptin, your brain and your body are acting as if you have zero fat on your body. So imagine what would happen if you had 200 pounds of excess weight on your body and your brain actually thought you had zero fat, and I mean zero fat, on your body. What would happen? Your brain would go into, and your body would go into this survival mode where you would eat and eat and eat and hold on to fat. That's what we're living through when our fat programs are activated. That's what I lived through. But imagine this for a second. Imagine you got to the stress that's activating your fat programs and you were no longer leptin resistant overnight. Imagine what would happen if your fat programs were turned off. What would happen is that in an instant, your brain would realize, your brain would no longer be resistant to leptin, your brain would hear leptin, your brain would process leptin, and all of a sudden your brain would say, oh my God, we're carrying 200 pounds of excess weight. Where did this weight come from? Overnight, can you imagine what would happen if overnight you woke up and your brain all of a sudden realized you're carrying 50, 100, 200 pounds of excess weight? What would happen? Your brain would make all these changes so that you're just not hungry anymore. You have more energy to exercise and to be active and to play. And when you do eat something, you crave healthier foods and you stop after you've had just a bite or two. The most common, quote, complaint I get from people on the Gabriel Method is they say to me, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just not that hungry anymore. I can't eat every couple of hours like you tell me to eat. I can't eat a big breakfast anymore. I'm just not that hungry anymore. And you're telling me to eat all the time. What's going wrong? I say, nothing's going wrong. You flip the switch. Your fat programs are no longer on. The triggers are no longer there. You resolve the problem. Then weight loss happens from the inside out. It happens automatically. You lose weight easily and effortlessly simply because you're not that hungry anymore and your body becomes very efficient at burning fat. Your body knows how to lose weight when it wants to burn fat. It knows how to do that. You just have to give it what it needs so that it realizes that being thin is the best way to keep you safe. So let's talk about some of the most common fat triggers that can activate your fat programs, because over the next 5 weeks, what we're going to be doing systematically, step by step, is resolving these fat triggers. And before I do that, Erin, I just want to say to you, if you could ask Den to send me a text, let me know if she has chat questions for me. We will take a break in a minute or two to answer some questions. So please text me and keep me posted on what's happening. Thank you. Okay, so let's look at some of these. We're going to go over each one of these. Chronic dieting, digestive problems, huge, huge thing, digestive problems. As a matter of fact, more and more, digestion, I'm learning, is at the root. Digestion and stress, and emotional stress, I'd say, are the two most important things. So digestion problems, we're going to be talking about nutritional starvation, when you're not getting the nourishment you need, toxicity. So having too many toxins in your body causes a stress that causes chemistry. So what is this chemistry I'm talking about? Well, if you were in a famine, your triglycerides would get elevated, your insulin levels your cortisol levels would get elevated, your pro-inflammatory cytokines would get elevated. These are the pro-inflammatory stress hormones. All of these different things cause this leptin and insulin resistance. So toxicity does this, nutritional starvation does this, digestion problems, chronic dieting. Sleep apnea is one of the biggest problems, and it affects people once you've gained more than 50 or 75 pounds. You develop sleep apnea, and it's a vicious cycle, and we'll talk about that. Past traumas, medications, emotional stress, lifestyle stress, limiting beliefs, all of these different things can cause real tangible chemistry that can activate your fat programs. So before we start talking one by one about these, I just want to take a moment to bring Den on. She's got lots of questions. Maybe we can answer a few of them now, and then we'll answer a few more at the end of the webinar. Okay? Erin, can we bring Den in? Den, how are you?
Hi, John. Good, thank you. Hi. Okay, this question is a little bit long, but I'm going to ask the whole bit because it kind of all relates. Susan wants to know, when I started the program in September 2013, I didn't see a lot of change. At first, I put myself on a rigid diet where I only ate certain foods, etc. I did that for 4 weeks, and the scales didn't change, and I became discouraged. I realized I didn't believe the visualizations. So in January, I was determined to try again and started doing the visualizations morning and evening. And to my surprise, I noticed a huge shift in the way I thought about them. I found myself relaxed and calmed by them and actually believing them. I determined to look at this program as a way of life and as loving myself by taking care of my body. I have had no cravings to speak of and have felt good about the program until I stepped on the scales and it showed that I had gained 3 pounds. This week I'm back down to where I started, but I find myself doubting again. I've stayed on my program as far as eating is concerned, but the visualizations have been hit and miss since I stepped on the scales. I read the testimonies and see others who have lost a lot of weight.
Okay, so the first thing I want to say is don't step on the scales. You can see what it's doing for you, and it's going to get into your head. Losing weight this way is not like a diet in that you're not forcing yourself to lose weight, so you're not going to lose 30 pounds in 30 days because you're not starving yourself, but you are addressing the real issues. And visualization, nothing on earth is more important than visualization for weight loss, as we're going to talk about in this webinar and throughout the next 5 weeks, because it reduces the real tangible stress hormones that cause your body to go into fat storage mode. So when you tried to lose weight through chronic dieting and you got nowhere, it's simply because what's happening is you're not addressing the real issues. So there's other stresses in your lives, mental and emotional stresses for you particularly, that are causing weight gain. So stay focused on the visualizations. Do not weigh yourself. Give yourself 6 months where you don't even think about weight. Don't weigh yourself. Focus on health and nourishing your body. Listen to the visualizations every morning and every evening. It takes a while to rewire your brain chemistry and your hormonal chemistry, and you'll start to lose weight quicker and quicker. Slowly at the beginning, quicker and quicker. That's the most common way that people lose weight, focusing on the real issues. Hey, Dan, I also want to say that in between questions, while I have you on, just mute yourself because there's some background noise, okay?
Okay.
All right, great. Do you want to ask another question?
Yes, this question's from Angela, and it's similar. What do you do if your client doesn't do the steps, listen to visualizations, etc., even though he or she is consciously wants to change their lifestyle and weight? How do you deal with procrastinators, self-sabotagers such as me? I just can't focus during visualizations. My mind wanders and I get bored after.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just mute yourself also. Okay. So this is a great question. So with visualization, and we're getting ahead of ourselves really on this, but that's okay. With visualization, all I want you to do is play the visualizations. I don't want you to concentrate. Let your mind wander. Let your body fidget. Lie down if you have to. Don't focus on anything I'm saying. Don't worry if you can't visualize your ideal body or if you can't see the white light that I'm asking you to imagine. Don't worry about anything. Just show up. Simply by showing up, you will begin the process of rewiring your brain chemistry. And that process can take weeks, it can take months. All you have to do is show up. Eventually what will happen is you'll find yourself, you'll get up one morning, you'll press play for the visualization, you will get into the deepest visualization of your life, your mind will be calm, you'll be able to see all these things, you'll feel energized, you'll want to stay in that state after the tape is over for another 30 minutes, and you'll just feel amazing the rest of the day, and you'll be hooked. It's a long process to get there. In the meantime, don't try. I'm saying don't try anything, just press the button. All I want you to do is press a button, nothing more. I don't want you to make any other effort. Just press the button. And if you do it that way, you will get hooked. You will reap the benefits. We're laying groundwork here, people. That's really what we're doing, is we're laying groundwork over this next 5 weeks. I don't want you to look at the scales over the next 5 weeks. I don't want you to think about weight over the next 5 weeks. We're laying groundwork so that you will lose weight easily and effortlessly in the coming months and years, and weight won't be a problem for you. Not so that you can lose 50 pounds in 5 weeks and then try to do your best to keep it off while your body's fighting cravings left and right. No, we've all done that. That's not what we're doing. We're laying groundwork. And in order to lay groundwork in the beginning with a visualization, what I want you to do, press a button. Nothing more. Just press a button and be in the same room as it for that 10 minutes. Nothing more. Okay? Then?
I've got an excellent question here from Reveal. Why isn't everyone who is under excess stress fat?
Okay, that's a great question. So stress can do one of two things. Stress will either make you fatter or thinner. Now, we've all heard of people we've seen people that go, oh, I'm so stressed, and then they just keep losing weight and losing weight. And the reason is because of the hormonal experience that your body's having from the stress. See, when we have mental stress, your body has to interpret it. So for some of us, Mental stress is interpreted as a famine. It's a chronic, low-grade, low-level stress. For other people, stress is interpreted as a tiger chasing you, so that it becomes a violent, quick impulse stress. So you know the people that get really, really angry. For example, when I was working on Wall Street, I had a business partner that was really angry and violent. The fax machine wouldn't work, and he'd throw the fax machine on the ground, and he'd scream and curse every day, all day long. The slightest thing that would go wrong, he would be physically violent and pushing things and throwing things. Me, when something went wrong, I would just sit there and take it. Now, your body has to interpret external stresses and decide how to adapt to that stress in order to keep you alive. Now, the reality is that mental and emotional stress, there's nothing your body can do to adapt to it, but it will activate one program or another. So if you think about what a famine is like, a famine is not something you flail your arms at. A famine is not something you curse at. A famine is something where you sit and just take it. It's a chronic low-level stress. So if you're the type of person that just sits and takes stress, chronic, low-level, don't want to push the button, don't want to make waves, don't want to say anything, just take it, just take it, just take it. If you're that type of person, then your body is most likely reacting to the stress as a famine. If you're the type of person that's screaming and yelling and pushing and angry all the time and physical, your body's going to interpret that as a tiger chasing you. So going back to my business partner, the whole time that we were working together, we were both under tremendous stress. I was gaining weight. I gained over 200 pounds. He kept getting thinner and thinner. And this guy was eating milkshakes and pizza for lunch. And he was getting thinner and thinner. And it's because of the way his body understood stress. Because he was angry and throwing, it was like fight or flight every minute. And fight or flight is a type of stress when done periodically, not when it's chronic, but when done periodically, fight or flight will make your body want to be thinner, as we're going to talk about in week 4, because exercising right activates the fight or flight response in the right way to make your body want to be thinner, because then your body says, uh-oh, we need to be thinner in order to run away from tigers. So if your body is experiencing stress, modern-day stress, as a famine, interpreting it as a famine, you're going to gain weight. If your body is interpreting modern-day stress as a tiger chasing you, you're going to be losing weight. That's why stress is either going to make people fatter or thinner. It's simply because the way your body is interpreting the stress and adapting to the stress. Okay, Dan? Danny, there?
Hi, John. Okay, hi, Belinda asks the question. Where do you start if you can identify 8 or 9 of the 10 fat triggers? Or is it a case of you don't need to approach each one and just do the visualizations and let your brain sort it out?
Okay, Belinda, it's a great question. So the way to start is to follow the action steps that we're going to be talking about at the end of this webinar, because the action steps are the key to addressing all of these things. So in the action steps as we go forward, we're going to be addressing toxicity. We're going to be addressing limiting beliefs. We're going to be addressing mental and emotional stress. We're going to be addressing the need to use weight as a form of protection, stabilizing your blood sugar, nourishing your body, reducing inflammation, improving your digestion. All of these different things we're going to be addressing through the action steps. So the action steps are a way to approach everything simultaneously. So pay very, very close attention to the action steps that we talk about at the end of this webinar. Okay, Dan, I'm going to continue with the webinar now, and we're going to bring you back at the end to answer more questions. Okay? Thanks very much. Okay, so let's just go over some of these one at a time. So chronic dieting activates your fat programs. This, to me, is the core of the paradigm shift that we're offering. The traditional paradigm is dieting is how to lose weight. And I'm saying that dieting doesn't work. Not only does dieting not work, dieting actually makes your body want to be fatter. So you lose a little bit of weight in the short term, but then you gain the weight back plus. And I know that when I was dieting, over an 11-year period, when I was working in New York on Wall Street and high-stress job, etc., I would lose 10 pounds, gain 15, lose 10 pounds, gain 15, always gain back more than I lost, simply because every time you go on a restrictive diet, that is when you're hungry and you're fighting that hunger, your body's saying to you, I want food, and you're saying no, your body thinks that's a famine, because why else would you say no except for the fact that there's not food available? Your body doesn't understand that you're doing it voluntarily. So your body's saying, my God, There's not enough food. We got to store fat. It's chronic stress numero uno that activates the fat programs. All of the things that, all the chemical changes I talked about, your triglycerides going up, cortisol levels elevating, all of these things causing leptin and insulin resistance, that's what chronic dieting is. So chronic dieting activates your fat program. So we need to have an approach that isn't restrictive. Now, once again, if it's not restrictive, that doesn't mean you're going to lose 20 pounds in 20 days or 30 pounds in 30 days as if you were on a diet. There is an adjustment period where you're nourishing your body, dealing with the real issues, turning off your fat programs, and that can take weeks and months. And in that period, there may not be rapid weight loss, but once you've nourished your body and turned off your fat programs to the point where you're not hungry anymore and you're not in a restrictive state, you will lose weight. It will take time. If you're on a diet right now, a restrictive diet right now, please don't say, "Oh, I don't have to diet anymore. I can eat whatever I want." You're going to have a rebound if you do that. And as we're going to talk about in a couple of slides from now, dieting is like holding a volleyball under the water. The second you let go, boom, you're going to have a rebound. So what I would suggest to you is if you're on a restrictive diet right now, don't make too many dietary changes. Add really healthy foods. So we're going to talk about the difference between a healthy carbohydrate and unhealthy carbohydrate, a healthy fat and an unhealthy fat, healthy protein, unhealthy protein. Don't worry about how much fat, carbohydrate, protein. Worry about that you're getting all healthy fats, healthy carbohydrates, healthy proteins. And don't make too many changes to your diet over the next few weeks and months until all the other changes, the mental and emotional changes, the digestion changes, until the inflammation goes away, until all these other things happen, and you can then go off of your diet, go off of restriction, and lose weight without having a rebound. So there's a transition period. If you're on a diet right now, you need to go through that transition period. As we're going to be talking about next week, and we've got, by the way, as I mentioned, Donna Gates is going to be the expert lecturer. I'm just so blown away by her information and her knowledge. There's just no one on earth that knows this information, knows digestion as well as she does. I'm also going to be presenting about digestion. But here's the thing. Because of the types of foods we eat, processed foods, gluten, dairy, refined sugars, because of antibiotics, medications, chlorinated waters, because of formula when we were infants, all of these different reasons, we have lost the ability to effectively digest and assimilate our foods. So our friendly bacteria have suffered. We've lost our friendly bacteria, and we have unfriendly bacteria in our digestive system, parasites and yeasts. And all of these unfriendly bacteria are causing inflammation. And as we talked, and it's a chronic low-grade inflammation. And as we talked about before, the main thing that activates your fat programs is chronic low-grade inflammation. So these unfriendly bacteria in our system are causing chronic low-grade inflammation. We're also in a nutritional famine because we can't digest and assimilate our nutrients. We're also not breaking down our food, so it becomes toxic. And then what happens is certain foods like gluten and dairy cause subtle tears in our intestinal lining, which makes our intestinal lining more permeable, and all this undigested, rotting food leaks into our bloodstream. It's called leaky gut syndrome, causing all kinds of autoimmune problems and inflammatory problems and toxic problems in our body. This is all from a digestive nightmare that is caused by modern day living. We all have it. We all suffer from it. It manifests in different people in different ways. For some of us, it's weight gain. For some of us, it's chronic stress, autoimmune problems. It can also manifest as many other chronic disorders, food intolerances, allergies, asthmas, Hashimoto's disease. Lots of different things can be the result of our digestion problems. We all suffer from it. So throughout the program, we're going to be talking about healing your digestion and reducing toxins. And that's going to be starting from the action steps from this week. So nutritional starvation, the foods we're eating today do not have the same nutrient value as real live foods had 10,000 years ago. They are depleted of nutrients, and the nutrients are processed away because many nutrients decay very quickly. And the whole purpose of processing food is from a manufacturer standpoint, processing food is great because what it means is the food's not going to break down, it's not going to go bad, it's cheaper to make, it's cheaper to ship because you don't have to ship it refrigerated, it lasts longer on the shelf, everybody's happy, and there's lots of toxic addictive chemicals in there, so you think you like it, everybody's happy, but the reality is nothing about processing food is for your health. Manufacturers didn't start processing food to benefit you from a health perspective. They did it to benefit themselves, to make foods more competitive, cheaper, easier, faster, longer shelf life. But when you process foods, you take out the nutrients. You also make it very hard to digest. So by taking out the nutrients, we're in a nutritional famine. Nutritional famine causes the same chronic, low-grade stress response as a regular famine that causes you to gain weight. So the answer is to nourish your body rather than take the restrictive attitude of a diet. So the typical diet says you need to reduce calories, but you're not focusing on digestion, you're not focusing on the emotional things, and especially you're not focusing on nutrition. You're just eating these empty calorie shakes that are basically sugar and water and chemicals, and you're going further and further into nutritional famine. The medical paradigm also doesn't address this issue by things like surgery. They just say make your stomach smaller so that you'll have less calories. Doesn't address the fact that you're not nourishing your body. Nourishing your body is more important, and by nourishing your body, you will end the chronic inflammation that causes you to gain weight. We're going to talk a lot about how to nourish your body starting this week and every week. Toxicity. Many of our foods that we eat have hormones, pesticides, stabilizers, fertilizers. All of these different things are toxic. The plastics, the cleaning fluids that we use, all of these different things, there's thousands and thousands of toxins that have been introduced into our food system, in our water system, in our air. It all comes into our body, and our body has to eliminate it. But the problem is that the toxins come in too quick to eliminate. And so your body stores those toxins in your fat cells. It also causes, trying to eliminate those toxins is a chronic inflammatory stress, which is really the mantra of this presentation. Chronic low-grade inflammatory stress, which activates your fat programs, causes you to gain and gain weight. One study I saw said that there's as much as 800 different toxins in your fat cells. Your body holds toxins in your fat cells because fat is a chemically neutral buffer, and so it protects your body if you can't eliminate toxins fast enough. So what we're going to be doing is developing what I call a detoxification lifestyle. And a detoxification lifestyle is when you are taking in less toxins than you're eliminating on a daily basis, because you're flushing yourself with lots of alkaline liquids like green juices and water, because you're eating lots of live foods, because you're improving your digestion, you're eating more real foods and less processed foods, and more organic foods if you can. And over time, you're taking in less toxins than you're eliminating, gives your body a chance to eliminate all the toxins in your fat cells and burn weight. So that's what we're going to be developing over the next 5 weeks, is a detoxification lifestyle. Sleep apnea is a really important one. Sleep apnea is something that happens to people. Once you've gained a certain amount of weight, what happens is the weight of your neck and your chest overcomes the pressure in your windpipe, and you don't know it, but you're never really getting into a deep sleep. You would know it, or your partners or your family members would know it, because you snore loudly and you frequently stop snoring and then start again. This is caused by the fact that the pressure in your windpipe is overcoming the weight of your neck is overcoming the pressure of your windpipe, and you're kind of choking. Now, you don't know you're choking, but you're not getting into a deep sleep. You're constantly being woken up all night, even though you don't know it, you're not getting into that deep sleep. That is causing a tremendous stress response, elevating your cortisol levels, elevating your inflammatory hormones. You're tired all the time, so you're craving junk food, because that's the best way to deal with being tired, is to crave junk food. So you're craving junk food all the time, you're tired all the time, and it takes your fat programs to the next level. So if you've got more than 50 to 100 pounds to lose, you've got to get tested for sleep apnea. If you do have sleep apnea, you can get a CPAP machine, which is a pump, a mask that goes over your nose and mouth, and it pumps air into your nose and mouth, increases the pressure of your windpipe, so that while you're sleeping, you're not choking. it made the hugest difference for me. It's made a huge difference for thousands of people that I've worked with. So please get tested for sleep apnea. Certain medications can cause you to gain weight. Birth control, insulin causes you to gain weight, certain antidepressants, cortisone, certain painkillers. All of these things cause you to gain weight. But what we say is that I don't want you to ever go against what your doctor is recommending, but it's up to you to choose your doctor. So there's doctors out there that have strictly a traditional medical paradigm, which is just treat symptoms and just relieve pains with medications, but many of those medications are toxic and activate your fat programs. They're not aware of that. Or you can choose a holistic doctor that's aware of these things, that's going to do things like improve your digestion, nourish your body, detoxify your body, and do things like that so that you can naturally solve inflammatory problems and type 2 diabetes and depression and things like that, so that you don't have to take medications that cause you to gain weight. So we do urge you to look for holistic medical doctors and to do all the things that we're doing right now and work with your doctor and say to your doctor, look, over the next 5 weeks and maybe the next 6 months, I'm doing a lot of things to get healthy. So I want you to test me every couple of months or whatever to see if I still need the antidepressants, if I still need the insulin, if I still need the cortisone. Let's test and see if we can wean me off of it. Don't go off of any of these medications without your doctor's blessing, but please get tested. So those are some of the physical stresses that can activate your fat programs, cause a low-grade inflammatory response that's similar to a famine or cold or being chronically cold. But the biggest, in my experience, the biggest fat triggers are mental and emotional. And it's not mental and emotional in the sense that most people think of it. So most people think that the reason why we eat is for comfort. They call it comfort eating. That's true, but it's just scratching the surface. The reality between stress and emotional problems is a biochemical one, and that is that biochemically they cause the same stress and inflammatory hormones as a famine for some people. And if your stress and your emotional issues are causing the same chemical hormones, stress hormones, as a famine, then chemically you're going to be wanting to eat. That you're going to be forcing, your body's going to be forcing you to gain weight. So to just say that we're eating for comfort reasons is just very one-dimensional. It's not the real root of it. The real root of it, because I've been through that, and I convinced myself that I was eating for comfort reasons. I was a comfort eater. But once I addressed the stresses in my life, I wasn't a comfort eater anymore. So where did all that comfort eating go? It went away because I wasn't hungry anymore, because my fat programs weren't on anymore. So the important thing to understand about stress and emotional issues is that they activate your fat programs, not just that you eat for soothing the stress and the pain. You're eating for biochemical reasons. You're eating because these stresses have tricked your body into activating your fat programs. They've caused the same chemistry as a famine. Our body simply doesn't know how to deal with mental and emotional stress. It tricks us every single time because your body thinks it's a predator. It thinks it's a famine. It does all kinds of adaptive primal starvation or primal survival programs get activated, and it's all wrong because it's all in your head, but it's still causing real tangible physical chemistry. If you know that, like if you have a dream that a tiger's chasing you, you wake up, your palms are sweating, you're breathing heavy, all these things are happening because your body gets tricked into thinking that the imaginary stress is a real stress. So that's what happens all day long when we have emotional stress. So if you look at some of the emotional stresses, personal relationship turmoil, financial worries, fear and anxiety, marital family problems, loneliness, emotional abusive relationships, we'll talk about more. All of these things are chronic stresses that for some people, not for all of us, but for some people cause chronic low-grade emotional inflammatory stress that cause your body to gain weight. So what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks is doing visualizations, as we're going to talk about, to help relieve stress. In addition to stress, emotional issues such as past traumas. These are really big issues. So traumas, more than anything, like bullying, physical abuse, attack, death of or injury to yourself or injury to yourself or death of a loved one, any type of chronic violence that's going on now or in your past will cause your body to gain weight, because weight is a form of protection. It actually makes your body feel safer with the extra weight. So what happens basically is, and I'll give you a perfect example. So when I was when I first lost my weight, I was on television, and somebody contacted me, and they said that for when they were 10 years old, they were being abused by a babysitter, and this abusive relationship went on for 3 years, and the whole 3 years they were gaining weight. Eventually, the woman gained so much weight that the babysitter stopped abusing her. In that case, what happened was, her body formed this indelible impression that weight is a form of safety, a form of protection. And for some of us, it's not that literal. For some of us, it's just we feel a little bit safer having that extra weight because we're not going to get bullied, or the weight is like a buffer between us and the other person if we're having boundary issues. We're going to talk a lot about this in week 3, but basically, our bodies use weight as a form of protection, in the same way that our body uses weight to protect us against cold weather, because it acts as a buffer from the outside environment, from the hostile cold outside environment. When we're in a emotional or a physically abusive situation, it's a hostile environment, your body's going to use weight as a buffer. So if that's happening, you have to resolve that. One good way to resolve that is listen to the safe and protected visualization that we have in the members area. Get emotional release therapy, which we'll talk about in week 3. Try tapping, which we'll also talk about in week 3. But please listen to the safe and protected visualization in the morning. So other chronic stresses, like just the high stress jobs, relocating, an impossible schedule, lack of personal space, loud working environment, physical exhaustion, being unfulfilled, all of these different things cause stresses in our bodies that can activate our fat programs, their chronic low-grade stresses. Another thing that nobody really considers is limiting beliefs. So beliefs, what we're finding, what we're finding with beliefs is that they cause chemistry in your body that causes real tangible changes. For example, there was a study done, a placebo study done on antidepressants. Now, the antidepressant was supposed to elevate dopamine levels, and they gave the antidepressant to people, and yet it elevated dopamine levels. They gave a fake pill, which is called a placebo, to another group of people and said, yeah, this pill is supposed to elevate your dopamine levels. They gave the pill to the group of people as a fake pill. It didn't do anything. It was just a sugar pill. And their dopamine levels got elevated simply because they believed their dopamine levels were getting elevated. Another interesting placebo was with chemotherapy. They took cancer patients, and half of them they gave chemotherapy, and the other half they pretended to give them chemotherapy. The people that they pretended to give chemotherapy, 30% of those people, 30% of those people lost their hair simply because they thought they were getting chemotherapy. So a belief caused them to lose their hair. So another placebo study involved knee surgery, where the people that got the placebo knee surgery had as good a recovery. Now, we're talking about knee surgery had as good a recovery as the other participants in the study that got the real surgery. So we're learning from placebos that beliefs can elevate neurotransmitters and neurochemicals in our body, that beliefs can cause chemical changes that can cause our hair to fall out. Beliefs can cause physiological changes in our structural system of our connective tissue to heal knees. Amazing, amazing stuff. So what we're learning from this is that having the belief that you can't lose weight, you're genetically fat, whatever the dysfunctional belief is about you and dieting, that belief can cause you to gain weight. That belief can cause real tangible chemistry in your body that will cause you to gain weight. And it's understandable if you've been dieting for years and you've suffered the same yo-yo response, it's understandable that you think that you can't lose weight. But you know, there's a famous quote out there that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And the reality is, when you diet, no matter what diet you choose, you're following a flawed paradigm that's going to give you flawed results. It's very similar, in my opinion, to trying to walk through a glass door. So imagine there was a glass door and you didn't know there was a glass door and you thought it was just an open area and you tried to walk through the glass door. Every time you tried to walk through the glass door, you would hit the glass and you would bounce off every single time until you formed the opinion that it's impossible to walk through that area. But if you open the glass door, you can walk through once easy. You don't have to try. It's not hard. That's what we're offering here. Once you address your fat triggers, it's not hard to lose weight. It's easy to lose weight, and you can lose weight every time. So we've got visualizations that we're going to be doing that help you activate the genetic expression of your thin programs, which will actually, by changing your beliefs and by using visualization, create real tangible chemistry in your body that will change your body so that it will turn on your thin programs and deactivate your fat programs. So we have to address the limiting beliefs that we have, and we're going to be doing that also in our action steps over the next 5 weeks. So my experience is that 80% of people that I work with have some sort of stress or emotional issues that are causing chemistry in the body that are causing you to gain weight, that are causing weight gain. So we have to take a holistic mind-body approach to weight loss. Dieting, as we said, doesn't work. Dieting is like holding a volleyball underwater. The second you let go, the volleyball bounces back. So we need a mind-body approach. And the beauty of losing weight this way is that you may not lose weight, like I say, you may not lose 30 pounds in 30 days like a typical diet, but a typical diet, you lose 30 pounds in 30 days, and then your body fights and you have this big rebound effect. That's supposed to say year one, two, I'm supposed to say month, nine. But anyway, but losing weight comes. Okay. Am I back? Yeah, I'm back now. Okay, sorry about that. We had a little bit of technical problems. Basically, all I was going to say is that losing weight this way, maybe it's slower in the beginning, but you're addressing your fat programs, then you become more efficient at losing weight, then it gets quicker and quicker over time, as opposed to the volleyball scenario where you lose weight quickly and then you fight cravings and you have this discouraging rebound effect. We don't want any discouraging rebound effects. We want to address the real issues. So what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks is systematically, step by step, turning off your fat programs by addressing digestion, stress, emotional issues, the right way to do fitness, the mind-body connection, beliefs, all the different things that cause your body to gain weight. We're going to be addressing one by one systematically by creating positive habits that will last you for a lifetime that will automatically be addressing these issues. And what happens is when your fat programs are turned off, it just becomes all very natural. You start naturally craving healthy foods. You develop a positive momentum. Your taste buds become very sensitive, so that sweet foods taste too sweet. You have more energy to be active. And that's why we're not going to talk about exercise until week 4, because I want to give you a chance to turn off your fat programs so that you naturally have more energy. You burn fat much easier. Instead of burning sugar, you're burning fat. And you naturally eat less. Weight loss becomes easy, natural, and enjoyable. As we've said many times so far, and we're going to talk about many throughout this thing, visualization is the best way to reduce stress, get your mind and body to work together. So visualization reduces stress. It helps you deprogram the association that you need weight as a form of protection. It helps you rewire your brain chemistry so that your brain throughout the day, not just when you're doing the visualization, but throughout the day, you're activating areas that are in charge of feeling calm and secure and safe and protected, rather than constantly activating areas that are in charge of stress. We'll talk a lot about that. It helps you get deeper sleep, so that you don't have sleeping problems that cause weight gains, and basically helps you create a solid foundation for weight loss. In my opinion, there's simply no substitution for visualization, and we're going to be talking about that right now. So let's talk about the action steps. Now, as I mentioned, the most important part of the next 5 weeks is the action steps. Each week at the end of our core lesson, we're going to be reviewing these action steps. This is what's going to change your life forever if you do these action steps over the next 5 weeks, because you will have habits in place that you can't even imagine how different you're going to be in 5 years from now, 10 years from now. If you weren't doing these habits, more and more chronic stress, more weight gain, more depression, more discouragement, lower energy, more illnesses, et cetera, you'd be going down this road of sickness and weight gain, which we all do if we're not paying attention. You put these habits in place over the next 5 weeks, and over the next 5 years and 10 years, you're going to be healthier, fitter, have more energy, more passion, and you're going to be on a totally different trajectory. So we're changing the trajectory of your life with these action steps. So the first thing I want to talk about in the action steps is every morning I'd like you to do a visualization. We'll suggest a visualization for you to do. You can do other visualizations if you want, but if you don't have a preference of doing a specific visualization for a specific reason, then we will suggest the visualization. So for week one, the morning visualization that we would like you to do is the Burn Fat Now visualization. It's just a generic 10-minute visualization that creates positive associations with losing weight and with reducing stress and gets your mind and body to work together. I would love for you to listen to that visualization as soon as you wake up. Ideally, what you would do is the second you wake up, you have it all set up. There's a place for you to sit up. You sit up straight. You press a button. You listen for 10 minutes. Do not worry about if your mind is wandering. Don't worry about if you can't concentrate, if you can't visualize your ideal body, if you can't see the white light, if you can't see anything, if you think it's not working, don't worry about any of those things. Just press the button, press play. Woody Allen says that 99% of success is just showing up. Nowhere on earth is that more true than visualization. Show up for the visualization. It's 10 minutes long. Do it every single morning. This week, just do the Burn Fat Now. If you want to just lay in your bed and do it, fine. Lay in your bed. Listen to this visualization. Make a commitment to yourself to get the real benefit out of these classes. Make a commitment to yourself that you are going to listen to a visualization every single morning. That's what's going to make the difference of success and failure. Listen to this. So the first one is the Burn Fat Now. That's the one this week. After that, I'd like you to drink 2 to 3 glasses of warm water with some lemon or apple cider vinegar. That's going to help flush your body out. It's going to stimulate your digestive system to remove toxins. It's going to cleanse your blood. So you're going to and it's going to prevent you from being dehydrated, which we didn't talk about actually in this, but another reason why we hold on to weight is dehydration. So it's going to stop the dehydration that causes hunger also. So 2 to 3 glasses of water. I would like you to take a probiotic supplement. If you can't do it this week, spend the week looking to see to get a probiotic supplement, and then we'll talk more about it next week. But take a probiotic supplement first thing in the morning with a glass of water. Probiotics are friendly bacteria, so already you're going to be starting with improving your digestion. Try to drink a glass of water before each meal if you can. Throughout the day, I'm jumping ahead where it says eat meals with the big three. Add a salad to every meal if possible. So the ideal thing is if whatever you're eating, animal proteins, vegetables, put it on a big salad. Don't have it with a salad, which means that on your plate the salad is pushed aside. It's a few little pieces of lettuce pushed aside. Heather, one of our nutritionists, brilliant nutritionist, always tells people, make your plate a salad and then put the food on top. So make a big salad, put the food on top. If you're having eggs in the morning, if you're having during the day, if you're having a hamburger, or meatballs, or chicken, whatever you're having, make a big salad, put the food on top. Sprinkle some chia seeds or flax seeds on it because those are high in omega-3s. And then the other thing we want you to do today, and I'll talk more about the food in a second. So the other thing we want to do as you're going to sleep at night for this week, listen to the evening visualization before you go to sleep. So these are your action steps for this week. I don't want to do too many things, but it's real simple. You listen to a visualization as soon as you wake up. You're drinking lots of water in the morning and a probiotic. You're drinking water before each meal. You're eating lots of salads. You're sprinkling some chia seeds on your salads. And you're listening to the evening visualization. That's your action steps for this week. maybe print it out and put it on your refrigerator if you can. What's going to create success in this program is following the action steps. So the big three, what I call the big three is live food, omega-3s, and protein. Live food, omega-3s, and protein are the types of foods that reduce inflammation, nourish your body, heal digestion, keep your blood sugar stable, make you less hungry, and help you burn fat. So in every meal, I'd like you to have some, like I say, make a salad if you can. Have some live, unprocessed, uncooked, either fruits or vegetables, preferably lots of salads and sprouts. Put some, take some fish oils, or use a salad dressing that's got fish oil, that's got nuts and that's made out of chia seeds or flax seeds. Put chia seeds or flax seeds on your food. Have good quality animal protein if you can. If you're a vegetarian, have a protein supplement. Make sure you're getting those type of things. Now, we created a recipe book, which is in your members area, that you can access. Please look at the recipe book. Familiarize yourself with a couple of things I just want to point out. Things like omelet pizza. So you're making a pizza out of using eggs as the base instead of wheat, which is great because it doesn't elevate your insulin levels, doesn't cause as many digestion problems. Although dairy is not the best thing in the world, you could maybe make it with vegetables and a little bit of goat cheese if you want. There is a fair amount of dairy in the recipe book, which we're trending toward less and less dairy and finding alternatives to dairy. But there's lots of other things. There's live green juices. There's healthy salad dressings that use oils that are high in omega-3s, like flaxseed oil, hemp seed oil, chia seed oil, and then cakes that don't have gluten and don't have grains, so they don't elevate your insulin levels. Cakes made out of almonds and oranges, really nice things. Familiarize yourself with the recipe book. Also, I would suggest that you familiarize yourself. There's a shopping list. Try to familiarize yourself with these types of things. If you go to a health food store, you can find things like digestive enzymes, which help you digest foods. You have them with meals. Probiotics, we talked about, that are friendly bacteria. The whey protein, I'm going to say you don't need that. If you're not a vegetarian, you don't need whey protein. So I would say don't worry about that one. Look for alternative sweeteners, stevia, coconut palm sugar. A lot of people don't like xylitol these days. That's fine. Forget about the xylitol. The good healthy sweeteners are stevia, coconut, palm sugar. There's lots of recipes in the recipe book about what to do with those. Look for grass-fed, free-range meat and chicken and fish, locally grown organic produce. A lot of these things you can find at food co-ops. Farmers markets have usually spray-free, locally grown produce, and it's usually available at much cheaper than other produce, because there's no middleman and it's in season. So familiarize yourself with farmers markets and growing co-ops. For salt, use Himalayan salt crystals or healthy salt. Nori sheets are those sheets that you use when the Chinese or Japanese restaurants use to make the sushi rolls. Those are really good because they're high in iodine, which helps speed up the metabolism. Lots of trace minerals. They don't elevate your insulin levels. And of course, get some chia seeds, some flax seeds. Fresh wheatgrass juice or look for juices. These are just extra things to look for on your shopping list. But the most important thing is the action steps. Follow the action steps this week, and we'll keep adding to that over time. So that's the webinar. We've gone about 10 minutes over what we wanted to do. We wanted to make them about an hour, but we've got questions. I'll stay here and answer questions for as long as we can, or for at least another 20 minutes anyway. But if I don't answer your question, you can ask it in the members area or join us for the live question and answer session that's happening in a couple of days. I think that's happening in 3 days from now. Just check the schedule. It's a live question and answer session. Call and talk to me. There's nothing better than talking to me, because then I can really customize and synthesize what it is that's activating your fat programs and help tailor the approach for you. So definitely call in and talk to me on those call-in sessions. We've added three of them to this 5-week course, so please take advantage of those. So let's bring Den in, and we'll finish answering the questions that are on the chat room. Den, you there?
Hi, John.
Hi, Den.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, yeah.
Hi. Okay, good, that's good. All right, Marisol wants to know, these questions are sort of fairly universal. I know you'll be bringing, probably discussing these more over the weeks, but I thought I'd ask anyway. Marisol says, I see on your supplements list you have digestive enzymes, and I really love this idea of healing my digestion. I'm just curious, if your recommendation is to take 2 capsules every time I am going to eat in the day, it seems like a lot. Please advise on suggested dosage and routine during the day.
Yeah, so what I don't want you to do, Marisol, and it's a great question, by the way, I don't want you to carry supplements with you wherever you do go. I don't want you to be one of those people that, you know, you sit down for lunch and you open up your pills and you take this pill, the green pill and the red pill. Don't do that. Keep your digestive enzymes at home. When you're home, when you think about it, take the digestive enzymes. Okay? Don't be neurotic about it. It's going to help tremendously. Donna Gates talks a lot about it. You'll hear next week. But just have them at your house and at breakfast or dinner, when you think about it, have them with meals. Okay? Dan, you there?
Okay, thanks, John. Yeah. Okay, Marisol, can you hear me okay?
Wait one second. Aaron, don't mute Dan. Just let her do it, okay? Thanks. Okay.
Okay.
Dan?
Marisol asks another question regarding probiotics. She just wants to know about the timing. I want to understand further, as I've always thought that I need to wait 30 minutes between my levothyroxine, which I take on have to take first thing on an empty stomach for hypothyroidism, and my probiotic, and then again 30 minutes for my breakfast, by which time I'm starving almost an hour later.
No, that's not going to work, Marisol. That's not going to work. So the first thing I want to say is that I would like you, over the next 6 months, because you've done a tremendous job over the last few months. I know you were in our detox, and really valuable questions and suggestions too. Thank you for that. I know you're doing tremendous things to heal your body. I want you to work with your doctor over the next 6 months and see how much of that medication you actually need. I want you to constantly revisit this issue. Don't ever go off it without your doctor's advice. I want you to revisit this issue because you're doing so many things to heal your thyroid, and I don't know specifically what your issues are, but as long as you still have a thyroid, then I would suggest that you constantly revisit this issue because your thyroid is going to be healing. So you may not need that medication. Whether or not you can take probiotics with your thyroid medication, you need to check with your doctor. Now, taking probiotics, there is varied schools of thought about the best time to take probiotics. Some people say take the probiotics on an empty stomach so that the friendly bacteria can make it through your stomach and into your intestines. And this is the real trick here, is that probiotics have to make it through your stomach, which is full of hydrochloric acid when you're eating, and it's got to make it through there, and it's got to get to your intestines. It's very hard to do, and nobody knows exactly what the best philosophy is. Some people say take them on an empty stomach. Some people take them with meals because the food kind of shelters the friendly bacteria as they make their way into the intestines. I say do both. So in the morning, take your probiotic with your breakfast. I don't want you to be starving in the morning at all. I want you to eat a really good breakfast and not be hungry. So take your probiotics with breakfast. Try to take, if you want to take probiotics a couple of times a day, another time take it on an empty stomach. But I would say mix it up, sometimes with meals, sometimes without, because nobody knows which is the best way to take it just yet. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Well, actually, Marisol has another question. When thinking about the big three in each meal, might there be a proportion of live food to omega-3 to protein? Is it possible to overdo any of each of these? I can't help but worry that maybe more than 4 ounces of protein at a time or too much flaxseed oil in a salad can impact the hormonal balance we are seeking.
When you're eating healthy foods, your body will start to self-regulate. So that issue goes away over time. I can tell how much salad I need, how much healthy oil I need, how much protein I need. I never measure it. And incidentally, Marisol, I eat tremendous amounts of protein sometimes. Obviously, I'm a man and I'm bigger than you, but I could eat a pound of protein in a meal and not think twice about it. As far as chia seeds, I could maybe eat 100 grams of chia seeds in a meal and not think twice. This is just me, but other times I might go hours and hours and hours a day or like till the afternoon and eat almost nothing. I just self-regulate. Your body will self-regulate too. All the things that I'm suggesting you eat are things that your body needs and wants and do not cause problems. So the healthy fats will get your body, will are anti-inflammatory, and they will help your body reverse, turn off the fat programs. So they are really essential, and we're chronically starved for those healthy fats. So they are essential for you. Some people say too much protein can cause a problem, but I say let your body self-regulate on the protein. And the salad thing, me personally, Marisol, I cannot eat enough salad. I'll eat a salad in a meal that's what most families, a family of four will eat or six will eat. I'll eat a big salad bowl of salad. I cannot eat enough salad. Sprouts, put in sprouted legumes, sprouted anything, sunflower sprouts, any type of sprouts, chia seeds, healthy dressing. I cannot eat enough salad. So and that's my body craving those nutrients. So I would say eat these foods. Let your body self-regulate for now, and if you want to play with a proportion for now, if you want to artificially impose that, I would say 60% of it is the live greens, 30% is the protein, and what are we left? We're only left with 10% of the fat. No, I'd say 20 to 30% is fat, 20 to 30% is protein, and 50% or so is live greens. Maybe you can use that as a rule of thumb, but over time, let your body self-regulate. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thank you. Sandra wants to know about medication. I took antidepressants and mood stabilizers daily for over 12 years, which also seems to coincide with my weight gain. I quit my meds a year ago with the help of an incredible therapist, but I also haven't
that's
lost
great.
Any weight.
It's going to take a little bit of time.
Has the medication permanently wrecked my body?
No, it's not permanent, but it is going to take a long time. You were on it for 12 years, and yes, I don't know why it's not out there in the mainstream, but antidepressants, especially SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, cause weight gain. I know this because I've dealt with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have said to me, the medications cause, ever since I started taking antidepressants, I started gaining weight. You ask your doctor, and sometimes some doctors say, no, that's ridiculous. Other doctors say that it's true. Maybe they're just starting to figure it out. Years ago, doctors unilaterally said, no, they don't cause weight gain. They cause weight gain. So, and especially you'll know it because if you start taking them and you gain weight, that's what happens. You know, you don't have to ask, does it cause weight gain? It does. It takes time. I'm so happy for you to have gotten off of that. That's an unbelievable effort, and I'm so happy for you. Please do visualizations and meditations every day because they stabilize your brain chemistry. Please take lots of omega-3 fatty acids. They stabilize your brain chemistry and stabilize your moods. And give yourself time. It's going to take some time to undo the effects of the medication. Okay, Dan?
Thanks, John. Diana wants to know, how do I find the will to make the changes and stay on course for success? I don't have any energy to do much of anything.
Yeah, so if you don't have any energy to do anything, this is what I suggest to you. As you're going to sleep at night, press play and listen to the evening visualization. And when you wake up while you're still in bed, press play and listen to the morning visualization. That's all you need to do. In addition to that, whenever possible, don't kill yourself, but whenever possible, add a salad to your meals and drink a lot of water. Don't do anything else. Just do that for now. So all you got to do is press a button as you're going to sleep at night, and while you're still in bed, press a button when you wake up. Drink a lot of water, and whenever possible, eat a salad. Just do that, nothing else. Don't worry about anything else. Don't restrict yourself. Don't force yourself. And when you're listening to visualizations, let your mind wander. Don't worry about it. Just do that. This will give you, over time, start creating a momentum and an energy, and then we can take it to the next level. So just do that for a week or two, and let's see how we go. Okay, Dan?
Thank you. Diana also asks, I have sleep apnea. Does this ever go away, or am I doomed to a CPAP machine forever?
No, I sent my CPAP machine back to Fisher & Paykel with a big thank you note. And I also offered to do commercials for them for free because I wanted to spread the word to the world. And I still want to spread the word. But, yeah, the sleep apnea goes away when the weight goes away. But you need the sleep apnea to help the weight to go away. A lot of times the doctor says, well, just lose weight. Well, you can't just lose weight when the sleep apnea is elevating your cortisol levels and activating your fat program. So you need the CPAP machine to get the good night's sleep to lose the weight, and then the CPAP machine, you don't need it anymore. Okay, then?
Okay. Thank you. These are several more CPAP questions. Christina says, I've been on a CPAP machine for 4 months now. I found once they changed the pressure in my CPAP machine, I actually put on weight. What could be going on with that?
It's not related to the CPAP machine. As long as your sleep apnea is going away when you're using the machine, and your machine should be able to test that. So if your sleep apnea is going away when you're using the machine, then it's not. Then the weight gain is related to something else. So call in and talk to me on our Ask John show in a couple of days, and let's see if we can figure out what that is. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Erica wants to know, I have a CPAP machine that belonged to someone else. Can I just use his machine rather than getting tested?
Gee whiz, I can't. I would love to say yes, but it would be medically irresponsible for me to do that. So you check with your doctor and see if he'll give you the green light on that. Because you have to get the pressure right, you have to test it. Some machines will test it for you. For example, in Australia, you don't even need a doctor to get a CPAP machine. You just go to the pharmacy and you rent one, and the machine itself studies you and tells you what the pressure should be. So if you're in Australia, then maybe you can do that. If you're in the U.S., I would say check with your doctor and see if you can do that. Okay?
Okay. Pat wants to know, I was tested several years ago for sleep apnea, and I know that I have it. Can I just go out and buy a CPAP now without getting tested again?
As I said, it depends where you're at. If you're in Australia, you can do it. I don't know what the rules are and the laws are in the U.S., but please look into it. And absolutely 100%, please, please, please get it. Okay, Dan?
Thanks. Okay. Andrea says, I struggle with the bridge between knowing you're an emotional eater and knowing your triggers. And having this knowledge can actually change your fat triggers. I feel resolved in my issues, but I still struggle with so much weight.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between knowing your issues and addressing them. So knowing them means, yeah, I know that when I was 13 years old, I was beaten up. That's knowing your issue. Addressing it is doing work to address it in a deep conscious state, what I would call a deeper conscious state than your regular conscious state. So when you do the visualization, you go into smart mode, which is the alpha and the theta state, and you're able to access these abusive memories. When you do cellular release work, they take you into a very deep state of the alpha and theta state, and that helps you resolve the issues. When you do tapping, it works on an energetic level to break the connection. So you can't the important thing is you can't just know what your issues are or just talk about them to make them go away. You have to do this type of work, like the visualizations. And so what I would suggest to you is to just do the work of listening to the visualization, specifically the safe and protected. If you wanted to go a little bit further, look into getting some cellular release work, and then these things will address the issue, which is very, very different than knowing the issue and understanding it. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Kristen wants to know, is nutritional starvation where cravings come from, like craving sweets, chocolate, treats, etc.?
It's one of the reasons, yeah. The other, but stress can do it. Anything that activates your fat programs is going to cause cravings. Also, unfriendly bacteria in your stomach causes cravings because the yeast and parasite actually live off of those cravings. So any of the things that we're talking about here will activate your fat programs, which causes insatiable hunger, causes blood sugar fluctuations. So you get low blood sugar, and that causes cravings, causes your tongue to lose its sensitivity to sweets, so you need sweeter foods. It causes you to be hungry an hour or two after a meal because your blood sugar is fluctuating all over the place. And then the yeasts and parasites will cause sugar cravings. So everything we're talking about, virtually every single thing, including nutritional starvation, will cause cravings. So really what we're putting together is an all-points, mind-body approach to addressing cravings, really, if you want to look at it that way. Because all the things that we're doing here will cause your body to not have those cravings anymore. Okay, Dan?
Okay. Jamie wants to know, how can we reduce the effects of workplace stress short of quitting our job?
Yeah, visualization. Visualization in the mornings and evenings will rewire your brain so that you will feel less stress. So when you visualize for 10 minutes in the morning, you're not just reducing stress for those 10 minutes. You are what consciousness researchers have studied with visualization and meditation is that it inhibits signals to and from the amygdala, which is the seat of stress. So when normally we're constantly pumping out stress hormones from this part of our brain called the amygdala, when you do visualization on a regular basis, what happens is that part of your brain gets, the signals get inhibited. You actually don't get signals going into the amygdala. You don't feel stressed throughout the rest of the day, and you create neural networks and access parts of your brain that are in charge of feelings of safety, security, confidence, relaxation. And so you're doing it for just 10 minutes, but the whole rest of the day you're not feeling stressed. That's why visualization is so important. Just do it 10 minutes a day, and over time you will rewire your brain so that the rest of the day you are not pumping out stress hormones. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Judy wants to know, I've been taking low absorption steroids for 2 years, and on your advice and with my doctor's agreement, I am cutting down, but my pharmacist says it will take 6 months for the toxins to leave my body. Do you agree with this?
No, not necessarily, no. I mean, that really depends on you. It depends on what you do in terms of flushing out toxins. So as we talked about before, having a detoxification lifestyle where you're flushing your body and taking in less toxins than you're eliminating will accelerate the process. If you're not having a detoxification lifestyle, that is, you're not flushing yourself with lots of green juices, lots of water, lots of liquids, lots of organic live produce, and you're having lots of toxic food, those toxins may get buried in your liver forever. So it's 6 months is a really arbitrary thing. You should experience a really quick change in your metabolism in your body by reducing cortisol, because cortisol is the numero uno stress hormone that activates the fat programs. So you should experience some really rapid benefits with that. I just want to say, Aaron, how long is this webinar? Aaron? Okay. Questions are rushing in. So we're probably not going to be able to address all of the questions here. We'll do the best we can, but we will continue to answer the questions that are posted here, and please call in on the Ask John session in a couple of weeks, or I'm sorry, in a couple of days rather, and we'll answer the questions that way. But let's see if we can get a few more in. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thank you. Cindy says, one of my beliefs due to dieting is that I no longer believe that you can lose weight forever. I also have so many triggers that can reset my fat triggers. How can the method mm-hmm. change my life forever and keep weight off forever?
The visualization. The visualization will reprogram those associations. It will reduce the stresses and emotional triggers that cause you to gain weight, and it will reprogram the dysfunctional beliefs that make you think that weight loss is impossible or hard or you can't do it. Because when you're in that deep, highly suggestible smart mode state, we make suggestions that weight loss is easy and effortless and automatic. Your body wants to be thin. You visualize it happening. You're communicating in various ways to your body. And in this way, you're reprogramming the dysfunctional beliefs that are sabotaging you and getting in your way. That's why I say every single morning, every single evening, visualization, visualization, visualization. Don't miss a day. Even if you have to just sit in bed and listen to it, even your mind's wandering, every single day. Okay,
thank you. Pat wants to know about having lemon in water, how much, and also she's heard that lemon is bad on teeth.
Yeah, so lemon is an acid, so you don't want to have it on your teeth too long, but just take a wedge of lemon and squirt it into your water and drink it down. It's not a big problem. Make sure that you're getting lots of healthy salt in your diet, like Himalayan salt crystals, and it'll help to remineralize your teeth. So it's not a big issue. If you don't want to take the lemon, you don't have to. It just helps add a little bit more of a cleansing benefit to the water when you're flushing your body. But if not, just drink the water without the lemon.
Cheryl's question then is regarding apple cider vinegar. How much would you add to water? About a teaspoon?
Just feel it out, maybe a teaspoon for a glass of water. And
okay.
Preferably you want it to be cold-pressed, raw, organic apple cider, because then it's going to have friendly bacteria in it.
Okay, thank you. Susan says, I'm going to be at a resort for 10 days starting tomorrow. Should I take my omega supplements as a substitute for the flax and chia seeds?
I would take your chia seeds also too, and maybe just have a chia shake in the morning, you know, where you just take a little bit of water and a tablespoon of chia seeds, let them soak for a little bit, and then chuck them down. So I would take those too, if you can.
Okay. Thank you. Melissa says, what about eating fruits and veggies first, then dairy or proteins, then lastly good carbs? Or should you just eat it all together?
Okay, so the thing about food combining is the real issue with food combining, which is really what the question is whether or not you're eating man-made foods or not. So if you take real foods, anything that's a real food, so anything, basically the way what we're finding is that anything that's a real food is basically something that's good for you. Your body can digest it, your body can nourish it, be nourished by it. It's got lots of healthy vitamins and minerals and friendly and digestive enzymes and friendly bacterias. It all works. It's only the man-made foods, and the man-made foods are processed grains, refined sugars, and lots of and all the different types of things that you find that are in a supermarket, like chips and crackers and et cetera, type of stuff. These things cause tremendous problems in our body. Now, you can combine any real foods. If you're eating real foods, you can combine them all. You don't have to worry about it. If you're eating processed foods, it causes problems. So, for example, mixing starches with protein, that is grains and like rices and breads and things like that, mixing that with animal protein, that causes a digestive problem. But at the same time, it's better to do that, to eat them, because it slows down, it'll slow down the release of the carbs if you have the protein with it. So there's no easy answer with food combining, except that the more real foods you eat, the better the combination is going to be.
Okay, thank you. Susan and Cheryl ask questions regarding being in winter at the moment. Susan says, living in a cold climate, it's hard to get fresh local produce. Is frozen and cooked okay during the winter?
Yeah. But you want you can still get sprouts, you know, and have a salad, but have more soups, have more vegetable soups, but stay away from starchy vegetables like potatoes and sweet potatoes. Have soups made out of cruciferous vegetables and spinaches and things like that, and maybe soups with meat, with chicken or meat, and lots of healthy vegetables. That'd be perfect for you to have.
Okay, thank you.
Try to get out of the sun as much as possible too. Go ahead.
Bridget says, can I substitute kefir and lacto-fermented veggies instead of a probiotic? I make my own kefir with live grains and raw milk.
Yes. So if you're having fermented foods, which we're going to talk about next week, and you can skip ahead to the class and look at some of Donna Gates' videos on fermenting foods. If you're having fermented foods, that's great. That's as good as probiotics. Although I think it's great to have probiotics too, because the more the merrier. I do both. I have fermented foods and probiotics. But fermented foods will take care of that also. Okay.
Leanne says, what should we look for in choosing a probiotic? Which is a great question.
You want a probiotic that has many different strains of bacteria. So, for example, the probiotic that we have has 10 different strains. There's another probiotic that I think is very good called Primal Defense by Garden of Life. It's got about 10 or 13 strains. It also has some trace digestive minerals that are and digestive microbes that are also very healthy. So you don't want to just take Lactobacillus acidophilus. You want as many different strains as possible, and preferably something that's got a high count of bacteria called CFU, colony forming units. So for example, ours has 50 billion colony forming units per capsule, which is huge. So you want potents, preferably if it's refrigerated or if it's a capsule that, you know, and sealed, and then refrigerated, and you want lots of different strains.
Okay. Jean says, too much salad can make my GI tract very uncomfortable. Every meal could begin to really hurt. How do I handle that?
Well, you just do it. Just do what's comfortable for you. But what you'll find with some of the other digestion suggestions in week two is that your digestion is going to improve tremendously, and that's not going to be the case. But for now, just do whatever's comfortable for you, please.
Laurie wants to know, she's a vegetarian, is it okay to add unflavored protein powder to my salad? Is tofu a good source of protein?
Yes. Yeah, no, tofu's not good. If you're having soy products, only fermented soy products, I would suggest. Don't have soy milk, tofu. These cause problems. Soy, These things cause a lot of problems. Have fermented soy like tempeh, miso, tamari, and yes, please add a protein supplement. Also, for those of you that that don't want to continue listening to the questions, we're going to go another 10 minutes to answer questions. I just want to say that thanks very much for listening, and we will we have an interview with Dr. Ron Rosedale in 48 hours, and then an Ask John call-in day in 3 days. So please participate then. You can talk to me live on that. The call with Dr. Ron Rosedale you do not want to miss. Please also continue to go through your action steps checklist and make sure that you're following along on that. That's the most important thing. So thanks very much for listening. And if you want to continue to listen, please do. In the meantime, we'll just continue answering questions for another 10 minutes. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thank you. Art wants to know, do you like intermittent fasting?
No. I'm not a believer in intermittent fasting if it's restrictive. I understand the physiology of it. It's a short-term fix. I've had a lot of people that got some real benefits off it for a year or two, and then had problems. So the theory's sound because you want to get your insulin levels and leptin levels lower, so to reverse leptin resistance. So you want to go long periods of time without eating. But when your fat programs are on, what happens is you're hungry all the time because you can't burn fat because you're insulin resistant, and so then you're causing hunger all the time. So the real answer is I do not believe in restriction of any kind. Intermittent fasting, if it's natural, like for me personally, I might go 12 or 16 hours without eating, not all the time, sometimes. For example, I might eat at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and then not eat again till morning. So I've gone 16 hours without eating, but it's a very natural type of thing. So if it's natural and it's not forced, it's good. It's your body wanting to burn fat and lose weight. If you're using restriction, it's disaster, and it will rebound. So that's the key distinction. Okay, Dan?
Melissa wants to know, which is better, chia or flax?
Chia. Chia is better. Chia has more fiber, it's got more protein, it's got more calcium, and it also has less phytoestrogens that can cause problems. So chia is
and
better.
The question is it sort of a general question too, should you be taking your chia seeds and flax seeds ground?
Yeah, so I sometimes cheat flax seeds, yes. Chia seeds, you can soak them for about 10 minutes and you're good. I sometimes cheat and I just put my chia seeds right on my salad, but I stopped doing that because I realized I was wasting money because they go right through you when you do that. They taste good, they go right through you, and they're expensive. You don't want to waste money. So soak them for just 10 minutes and then you can have them in a drink. You can put them in your salad. They're a little bit mushy, but they still work. And then you're assimilating them. Ground chia seeds, I find, have a little bit of a bitter aftertaste, so that's why I soak them.
Okay. Laura says, my morning ritual consists of coffee and an English muffin with peanut butter. Obviously, I will wake up differently tomorrow. What is your take on coffee? Do I cut that out completely?
Yeah, so coffee over the long term, if it's excessive, will cause stress in your adrenals, which... even though caffeine will speed up your metabolism in the short term, it causes adrenal overstimulation and adrenal fatigue. So I'm not a huge fan of coffee, but it's also a hard thing to give up. Make sure your coffee is organic. Try to have, having one or two coffees a day is not a big deal, but if you're drinking coffee all the time, see if herbal tea will work for you on some of the occasions. And over time, try to substitute more herbal tea for the coffee.
Thank you. Kirsty asks, what is a good dose of omega-3? For instance, a handful of 10 walnuts 3 times per day?
Yeah, so I would say I think chia seeds are a more concentrated form of omega-3s, so maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons during the day. You can have more if you want, but I would say 2 to 3 tablespoons is a minimum is good.
Okay, thank you. Kelly asks, I have gout and many inflammatory diseases and am limited to 50 grams of protein per day. What is the best protein to use for optimum loss?
Probably a grass-fed organic whey protein from grass-fed organic cows, preferably cold-pressed, is a very assimilatable form of protein. drink lots of juices, lots of liquids and lots of juices. That'll help with the gout. Also, listen to the safe and protected visualization. That'll help with gout too, because sometimes gout comes from emotional feelings of anger and emotional problems in relationships.
Okay, thank you. Susan asks, I know potato is considered a starchy vegetable, but why stay away from it? I prefer it to rice.
Well, because it elevates your insulin levels. Insulin's the fat-making hormone, and it'll slow down your weight loss success. You can if you eat the potato raw, it has less of an insulin response. When you cook it, it changes the molecular structure, makes it more starchy. There was I read an article once where pig farmers found that if they cooked their potatoes, the pigs got heavier. So what they found from that is that by cooking it, it becomes starchier, and the starch raises your insulin levels, and insulin is a fat-making hormone. What I often do is I substitute potato recipes with cauliflower. So I'll make a cauliflower mash that's just to die for, where you just boil the cauliflower, you put in a little ghee or organic butter, you mash it up, and it is divine. Kids love it. So that's a really good potato type of feel, cauliflower, that doesn't cause an elevated insulin response.
Okay, thank you. Sue asks, is a green smoothie okay instead of green juice?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Perry asks, my husband does our food preparation. How do you suggest I could encourage him to change to organic due to the expense? I understand.
Okay, here's the thing about the expense of organic. So when you factor in the fact that when you eat organic food, it's got more nourishment, so that you're going to over time eat less because you're going to be more nourished. Because one of the reasons why we eat all the time is to get nourishment. So in conventionally farmed food, it's got less nutrients. So organic food has more nutrients, so you're going to end up eating less of it. Also, your body's going to have less toxins. So your fat program is going to get turned off between the nutrients and the improved digestion and the detoxification. Your fat programs are going to get turned off. All that translates into eating less. So you will eat less, maybe not immediately, but within 6 months you'll be eating less by using organic. You're also going to be healthier. You're going to have less toxins in your body, and so you're going to save countless dollars on medications and doctor bills that come from chronic illnesses. So you'll have less chronic illnesses. All those things add up to savings in dollars. Also, I would suggest to you, as I said before, to check out farmers markets, locally grown farmers markets. For example, there's a farmers market here on Sundays. Now, there's a guy that makes sausages that are all grass-fed, and there's no pesticides, no hormones. In the sausages, he doesn't put any grains either. So it's a really high-quality food that he's selling for $9 a kilo. It's just the best thing in the world. The highest quality meat you can get sold for $9 a kilo. It also has, because it's a sausage, it's got bone and things like that in it, which is really healthy for both your digestion and for nutritional reasons. So there's lots of ways to get organic on a discount at farmers markets and co-ops. So familiarize yourself with that and factor in all the costs when you're doing the cost benefit of organic. So Dan, I think that's all the time that we have right now. Keep in mind, we're going to be working together for 5 weeks, so we will be answering all your questions all the time on the chat roles, in the members area, and in our courses, and also in the question and answer sessions, the call-in question and answer sessions. So if we haven't answered your question yet, we will be answering it over the next 3 days, I promise you, in one of those forms. In the meantime, review the action steps, keep it real simple, and just look to incorporate these positive changes. We're going to go step by step over a 5-week period to totally change your body and your life. So that's it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I look forward to working with you. Thanks to Dan, Shan, and Aaron for doing this and for moderating this for us, and also to all of our friends at the Barcelona office that have put this together. And we will talk to you in a couple of days. Take care.